Good morning. It's almost church time, and we want to welcome everybody. We're going to start the broadcast podcast. I have got so many things going on. I forget. It's been so long since we've just had regular church, seems like, but it is good to be alive today, and I want to say to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. We certainly recognize that it is Mother's Day today, and we appreciate our moms and all they mean to us. And, you know, nobody gets here without a mom bringing them into the world. And so we're thankful for that today. And we're going to be looking in the Bible in just a little bit, and we're going to be looking at one of the mothers in the Bible. But it's not just a message for mothers. I'll tell you a little story. In Idaho years ago, when I was pastoring out there, it was Mother's Day, went to church, and one of the ladies, she said, "Are you going to preach on mothers today?" And I said, "No, the Lord didn't lay that on my heart today." And she said, "Well, good. It always makes me feel guilty." And so we certainly wouldn't want that, but we are going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. I want to mention a couple of objects. One, continue to remember Brother Jack and Sister Ruth in your prayers. He did get to go home, but just continue to remember them. And also Sister Jenny Kirby, she has her surgery this week, and I know that she definitely desires our prayers. Her and Brother Tim and Cade and Colton, let's really be much in prayer for them, that everything goes well. And there's always other people and things to pray about. We certainly don't want to leave anybody out. But we're here today, and we want to worship the Lord together. And we're thankful for all the many blessings that the Lord has given to us. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to have our special for this morning. And we have a special guest, a special, I guess you might say. And so we're excited about that. You'll see who it is. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we do anything. And then we'll turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter number 26, which I have already put up on the screen. But let's pray. Father, we come today. I want to thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for our health, our strength. I'm thankful for things changing, we think, right now in a good direction. As far as our nation is concerned, there's many things to be concerned about. But Lord, we realize that over everything, we serve a sovereign God. We serve a God who is not surprised by anything that is going on. Help us to learn everything we should learn. Help us, Lord, to look to you for guidance and strength. Please be with our special objects of prayer. We mentioned just a moment ago, those that are sick, those that are facing surgery. Lord, you know all that's going on. And so help us, help me as I try to stand and preach your word today. Be with all the churches all over the land and the pastors that preach your word and that are trying to decide for their congregation what is best, what they need to do, how they need to lead, and the direction they need to go going forward. Give us wisdom in this day and time. We need that. We pray for that. Most of all, we need revival. We need your touch and the leadership of your Holy Spirit. And so help us today as we look in your word. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right. We got a special this morning. And you pray for these two ladies as they come and sing for us today. So y'all come on.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading. a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess they're not going to stick around to say anything, but that some of you may not know, that's both our daughters, Abigail and Chloe, and we did come to visit them. I think according to what the governor said, families can visit now, so we have certainly taken advantage of that. It's been a while for all of us. And so it's warmer here than it was when we left Boone. And it's warmer today than it is. I looked at the weather. And so praise the Lord for that. We'll have some warm weather coming along, I'm sure. But I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Numbers, chapter number 26. And as we always say, it's not important what I say, it's important what God's Word says. And also, while you're turning there, I want you to go ahead and find your place in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. We're going to read over there, and I'm also going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11. But we're going to start in Numbers 26. So three passages of Scripture today, Numbers chapter 26, Exodus chapter number 2, and Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're preaching on Numbers 26. I'm going to read verse number 59 to begin with, and then I'm going to go over from there to Exodus chapter 2. Numbers chapter 26 and verse 59, the Bible says, "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister." And so we're preaching today on this lady. Her name is Jochebed. And as we've said, not just a Mother's Day or not just for mothers, this is for everybody. But have you ever thought about this? Look how many times we preach on men. And we open up the Bible and we talk about Paul or Moses or David. I don't think the women say, "Well, I'm not going to listen. That's about a man." We listen because it's God's Word and there's something there for us. And so we, when we study or preach about a lady in the Bible, Oh, we shouldn't say, well, that's just for the women. That's for all of us. These things were written for our ensample, or to be an example unto us, is what the New Testament teaches. And so we read here, who is this? Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. She bare unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. So Jochebed, who are we talking about? We're talking about Moses' mother, Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And of all the famous people in the Bible, and there are famous women in the Bible, it's surprising that we don't hear much about this lady, Jochebed. Some of that probably has to do with Jochebed just doesn't roll off the tongue. You know, you think about other women in the Bible. There's Ruth and Naomi, and there is Mary and Elizabeth and Abigail and Chloe, who just sang for us just a few moments ago. Well, Jochebed, that doesn't, you know, roll off the tongue as far as our American or English language. But this lady, what a great lady. Her and her husband, Amram, that was Moses' father. Who has ever heard of him? Or if you said, who is Moses' parents? Well, I don't know. I know he had them, but it's Amram and Jochebed, and they are mentioned in the Bible. They are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, right along with all the other great saints. We call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Fame of Faith. And you look over there in Hebrews chapter 11, and you got Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses, and you got all those great saints of God. But you've also got Moses' parents that are mentioned in there. So whether we know much about them or even know their names, unless you just really dig it out, God surely thought a lot of them because he put them in God's word and he put them in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. So they are there. But most people probably wouldn't, if you said, you know, something about Jochebed, they might say, Jocka who? Who are you talking about? Well, we're talking about Moses' mother. And I put this on the screen, but if I had a title today, I would call this An Uncommon Mother for Unprecedented Times. An Uncommon Mother for Unprecedented Times. How many times in the past 6 weeks or so have you heard that phrase, unprecedented times? I have read that in articles. I have heard people talk about unprecedented times. What's that mean? Times like we've never seen before. Well, Moses' family was living in unprecedented times, times that they had never seen before. And we'll point some of this out. In a population of about 1 million Jewish people down in Egypt, we only know a very few of their names or what they were doing. And it mostly, especially in the beginning, centers around Moses' family and what his mother did, what his mother and actually his sister did. And so two great ladies there, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, his parents, so we know that Amram as well, was in on what was going on. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter number 2. We just started in Numbers chapter number 26, so you would know their names. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, an uncommon mother for unprecedented times. And so the first thing I want to point out about Jochebed is her background. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. What the Bible says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. So Jochebed was a daughter of Levi. You know what that means? That means she was a PK. Say, preacher, what's a PK? That's a priest's kid. That's what she was. The tribe of Levi took care of the priesthood. They were the priests of all the tribes of Israel. They took care of the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the all of the offerings and things like that. So she was a PK, a priest's kid. She grew up around the things of God. Now, in our day and time, we don't have priests. We have pastors or preachers. And a lot of times, the preacher's kid, they get labeled, you know, the PK. That's the preacher's kid. And what makes the preacher's kids act so bad? Well, they hang around the DKs. That's the deacon's kids. Well, that's a little church joke, I guess, but not really. They all tend to act like kids. But sometimes the preacher's kids are pointed out. I think my older children didn't really care to be labeled or pointed out as the preacher's kids. But let me say today that what an advantage. And all of our children should have the advantage of growing up around the things of God. And I believe we can say that about Jochebed's family because of her actions and because of her faith. She grew up around the things of God. Let me say, that ought to be the advantage of all of our children that know the Lord. The things of God should not be unfamiliar to them. They should know about the Bible. They should know about God's Word. They should know about prayer. They should know about faith. They should know about trusting God. They should know about being dedicated to the things of God. They should know how to give to the things of God. The things of God should not be foreign to our children. They ought to be very familiar with. It ought to be just part of their lives that they know about the things of God. They respect the things of God. If you look and study in the Bible over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." So the Apostle Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "When I call to remembrance, when I think about the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was first in your grandmother and also in your mother and in thee also." Do you know that unfeigned, what that word means? It's a great word. It means this: your faith is real. It's not fake. It's not phony. He was telling Timothy, "Timothy, you got the real deal. Real man of faith. Your faith is a reality in your life." And Paul said, "I saw it first in your grandmother, and then I saw it in your mother, and I see it in you also." A real faith. What an advantage it is in this world, in these unprecedented times, that we can actually look around us and see people, you know what? Their faith is real. Their walk with God is real. Their belief of God's Word is a reality. What a blessing that is. That was her background. She was a daughter of Levi. Now, as our children grow up, and many of us have children, and those of you that are adults, you grew up. In your life, you are going to overcome many, many things. There's a lot of things in your life you're going to overcome. But I'm going to tell you this morning something you will never overcome is the way you were raised. What are you saying, preacher? You will never get over the way you're raised. The way you are raised, your parents, your grandparents, your mother, your father, you're going to church and it being a good experience, and you looking back and you say, "Praise the Lord, I grew up in a good church," or "Here's a sad fact of life." A lot of people grow up and they've had a bad experience in church for whatever reason. You'll never get over that. This is why this is so important. And we find in the Bible, God puts a great amount of importance on the parents and their responsibility to the children which He has given unto them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, now I'm going to prove what I just said by the Word of God. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." He will never get away from the way he was raised. Now, he may get away from practicing it, but he'll never get over it. He'll never forget it. She'll never forget it. The way you're raised has such an impact, such an influence upon your life. And so for the better or for the worse in our lives, our background, it forms so much of everything that comes in the rest of our lives. This lady, her background definitely influenced her actions. She's an uncommon mother for unprecedented times. She had a good foundation. Praise the Lord for that. Let me show you something else. There is her courage. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 2. Now, we find she's a daughter of Levi in verse number 1. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now, you say, that's very odd. Why would a woman who's just had a child hide the child for 3 months? Well, you got to know a little bit of what's going on, the context. Look in chapter number 1. So the children of Israel, they are down in Egypt. They've been down there for over 400 years. They are now slaves in a land that they were originally invited into under Joseph's circumstances. But now much time has gone by. The children of Israel have gone from being a small family to a nation of 1 million people, and they are living in a foreign land, and Pharaoh, the Egyptian, is the king over them. And Pharaoh looks around at all these Israelites and he says, man, if we don't do something, they're going to be more in number than us. So we got to do something to control these people. And so what does he come up with? Get rid of all the males. Get rid of all the boys when they're born. Exodus chapter 1, verse number 21, the Bible said, "And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And so what had happened was, Pharaoh says, we got too many Israelites. And let me just say this, I was talking with Kim yesterday, and we were talking about the virus and the pandemic and the sheltering home and all this stuff that's going on. And I'd said something about the government, and she said, "Are you going to preach on the government tomorrow?" And I said, "I sure am." And that always makes her worried, I think. She said, "Why?" I said, "Because the government was telling people to throw their kids in the river." I wasn't talking about our government. I was talking about the government over Egypt. And the first thing Pharaoh said was, he told the midwives of Egypt, when you go down there and the Israelite women are having children, if it's a son, and you can read Exodus chapter number 1, he said, if it's a son, kill it. Well, the midwives feared God. That's what the Bible said, and they wouldn't do it. And Pharaoh said, "Why haven't you been listening to me?" He said, "Well, the Israelite women, they're lively, and by the time we get down to their house, they've already given birth. They've already had the child." So Pharaoh said, "Well, that's not working, that plan." So he just told everybody, if you have a boy, throw it in the river. Throw it in the Nile River. Get rid of it. Kill the male children. Here is the courage of Jochebed. The courage of Jochebed is that she defied Pharaoh's law. And I come across a saying the other day. Brother Tim Kirby and I were talking, and he had saw it on a sign, and we looked it up and found out that it was a quote from Thomas Jefferson. And I wrote it in my Bible beside Exodus chapter 1, verse 21. And here's what the quote is. It says, "When tyranny becomes law, then rebellion becomes duty." When tyranny becomes law, when the government says, "Take your son and throw him in the river," that is a law that is not really a law, but it is a man-made law that is against God's law, which says thou shalt not kill. And the midwives and everybody that didn't do that, they were actually obeying God, even though they were rebelling against the government. Even though they were disobeying the government, they were choosing not to break God's law. And so Jochebed had courage to defy God's law. Now here's what it says about them in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. The Bible says over there, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Yeah, the king said to throw your son into the river. They feared God more than they feared man. And it takes courage in their day, in the New Testament day, in the ages of church history gone by, in our day and time. It takes courage not to just do what everybody else is doing. It takes courage to stand for God. It takes courage to do what you know is right, even though it might be against the grain of the law of the land. I mean, everybody in the on the street was throwing their son into the Nile River, as far as we know. But Jochebed and Amram, when they come down to the point of having a child, and boy, you talk about wanting to find out what you're having, I'd say the children of Israel were really interested in what they're having. If they had a girl, no problem. If they had a boy, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to obey God? You're going to not kill your son? I mean, everybody else evidently was doing it. And that's how tyranny reigns, is when people just listen and don't think and don't care what God's word has to say. And they said, we're not going to do it. And we're not afraid of the king's commandment. Just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when King Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, I'm building an idol, and you know, everybody's on board. Everybody's going to do it. Everybody's going to bow down and worship this golden image which I've set up. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not. And the king said, well, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. They said, go ahead, but our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. We need courageous people in this day and time, because, and I don't want to get off the track this morning, it's probably going to come down to, are we going to obey God? Are we going to live our lives? Or are we going to live our lives in fear and let the government control every aspect of our life? She had courage. We're going to have courage going forward. We're going to have courage about how we decide in the future. How are we going to educate our children? I'm saying a lot of people are going to be asking a lot of questions in the days coming up. How are we going to educate our children? What is best? How are we going to vaccinate our children? That's going to become a big social issue. I'm just trying to think and look ahead and trying to help God's people. What are you going to do if the government comes along and said, all right, this is what you're going to do? What are you going to do? We're going to have some courage in the days ahead. How are we going to interact? People are scared to death. People are going to be afraid to come together to have church. Well, what if? What if you get the flu? What if you know, there's a million what ifs. If we wait till things are safe, we'll never leave the house again. But all of a sudden, life is unprecedented. We've never been here before. We're going to have courage. How are we going to live our lives? Our children are our children. It's not the government's children. Our lives are our lives. It's not the government's lives. We're going to have courage. What are we going to do? And it will probably come to that sooner rather than later. Well, let me say, our children are our responsibility, not the government's responsibility. We've got to remember these things. We're going to have courage. She had courage. She's an uncommon mother. Everybody else, I mean, we don't read about anybody else doing this. But Jochebed and Amram said, we're not throwing our son in the river. They hid him for 3 months. They were not afraid, is what the Bible says. She had courage. Look at her perception in verse number 2, what the Bible says. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. He was a goodly child. You know what? She knew right off the bat there was something special about Moses. You say, how do mothers know? Well, I don't know, because I'm not a mother. I'm a father, and fathers are sort of dense sometimes about the children and their lives. But I'll tell you, mothers know. There's been more than one mother has looked at her son and said, that's my little preacher boy. Didn't tell him that, but she just knew in her heart. And sure enough, coming up, I can think of two or three right off the bat. I'm not going to mention who it was. Some of you might know. One of our pastors at church used to have that testimony. His mom always said, you know, that his mother said, he's my preacher. How'd she know he was a goodly child? Mothers just know things. And that's one of the things that make them special. You know that thing about moms have eyes in their back of their heads? You children that are watching, you might ought to look. You know, they know what you're doing. If mom says what's wrong, don't say nothing. She already knows. You just might as well confess it. Or if you really don't know, you might ought to ask her. I don't know, Mom. What's wrong? What's wrong? She's held you and studied you and watched you and clothed you and took care of you when you're sick and looked at you while you're sleeping and watched you talk with your friends and grow up. And boy, I'm telling you, moms have perception. And she had perception. She looked at Moses and she said, he's a goodly child. He's special. There's something about this Moses. I read a quote yesterday, and I was reading about something else, but and what I was thinking about preaching on to begin with, but it's actually a quote from Hitler. I don't normally quote Hitler in preaching, but here's something Hitler said. He said, how fortunate for leaders that men do not think. That really messes with their plans when people start thinking for themselves and perceiving for themselves. And Moses' mother, Jochebed, and Amram, you know what they were guilty of? They were guilty of perception, which is just thinking. Thinking. They were guilty of thinking for themselves. They said, you know, this is nuts. This is crazy. We're not throwing our son in the river. We're not going to let somebody throw our son in the river. We are going to do something else. We're going to think for ourselves. And what they did at first was they hid him for 3 months. Now, those of you that have children and little ones, you know, that'd be hard to do. Because what do babies do? Well, they cry when they want to, and they make noise when it's hard to keep a little one hid. But somehow, some way, they hid him for 3 months. Her perception. Look on down. Look at her faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, I've already read that, but it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of faith. They had faith in their lives. And what a blessing that is. And boy, I'll tell you, in this day and time, we need people of faith. Faith is not just something we talk about. But when we're not actively exercising our faith, you know, that sounds really good to talk about faith, have faith, pray in faith, trust God, put it on a bumper sticker, talk about it and all like that. But I'll tell you, it's during unprecedented times that our faith, we either really have faith or we're really lacking faith. Well, they had faith to hide Moses for 3 months. Faith works when nothing else is working. We go on in faith, in hope and confidence that things will be all right. And we need to have faith right now, even though maybe sometimes it doesn't look like things are going to be all right. Faith makes the sun when there is no sun. Faith looks ahead. Faith says in confidence. Now listen, your children are really going to be watching, our children in church, they're really going to be watching how we handle this. If mom and dad fall all to pieces, what's that preaching to them? See, they're watching. They're watching us. And right now, parents, your children they're not going to school. They're not around other people. They're maybe even not around their grandparents. But they know something is going on if they are of any age to understand, hey, this is not how we've normally done things. they're going to learn. They're going to remember back. And let me ask you, are they going to see a mom, a dad exercising faith, going on with life with a smile on our face and saying, you know, everything is going to be all right. God is in control, no matter what you hear on the news or hear other people talking about. Or, you know, think about being a little kid during this time, and all of a sudden you go to town and people are wearing masks and gloves, and I mean, your whole world you've known your whole life is just completely turned upside down. It doesn't even look like America. It would be a scary time. And if mom and dad are all to pieces, it would really be a scary time. But if they have a rock, if they have a person of faith in their lives, okay, you know, if mom and dad's okay, then I think I can be okay. Faith is important. Other people are watching. This is for everybody, not just moms, but other people are watching how we're handling and how we will handle going forward what is going on. And you got to give it to Jochebed and Amrad. I mean, they had faith. They didn't know what they were going to do at first, but they said, we're not going to throw him in the river. And what they did, they hid him 3 months. They had faith that things were going to work out. Now, I like this. Her ingenuity. Mothers are great at this. Her ingenuity. Look at verse 3 through verse number 9. I've not read these verses, but let's just see what they did. The Bible said, when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Boy, you talk about ingenuity. Let me say, all this was not an accident. She had a plan. They had a plan to save Moses. And you talk about faith. I mean, you're going to tell me they didn't know where Pharaoh's daughter took a bath? What time she took a bath? Where she took all of those things? They took Moses, their three-month-old baby. They put him, they waterproofed a little baby basket's what we would call it. Knowing Pharaoh's daughter and all these Egyptian women are going to come down here at bath time, put Moses out into the river, and Miriam hid to see what would happen. I've heard this preached that this was all by chance and all like this, but there's some faith here going on, but there's some action in this faith. We got to have a plan. She had a plan to save Moses, and I believe she had a plan to raise Moses, and guess what? Here's where God comes in. She got paid for raising her own son. They find the baby. Miriam jumps out from behind a tree. Hey, I happen to know a Hebrew woman that is able to nurse a child. You want me to go get her? Sure. She goes and gets her own mama. Her mama comes down there, takes Moses, nurses Moses, raises Moses, eventually takes Moses to, praise the Lord. This is faith being rewarded. But it took a lot of faith, because that Egyptian could have just as easily said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, throw that baby out in the river. But when she saw it, the babe wept. The mother's heart was in her, even though she was not a mother. And guess what she did? She had compassion on it. There's a great message there as well. There's a lot of things in this passage of Scripture I'm not going to be able to bring out, but ingenuity. What did she do? Here's how we put it in our day and time. She simply was thinking outside the box. She said, now the law of the land is one thing, but we know God's law is another thing. How can we make this work? And we're going to need some ingenuity. I've been thinking, I've talked with the deacons in the past couple of weeks, you know, going forward and going back to church, and I've already had, you know, what about Sunday school? What about vacation Bible school? We're going to have to bring the ladies in on some of this. How are we going to get this done? How are we going to carry on and evangelize and do all the things that we need to do? We're probably going to have to think outside the box. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe. Now, I know the government's involved, and I know, you know, virus is a real thing. There are people that are sick, and then I know what the Bible says we need to do. You know, have you ever thought that maybe God is in this trying to get us out of the church? Because we're out of the church. I like this. I saw a church the other day that had a church sign, and it said, the building is closed, but the church is open. You know, God's people have always used ingenuity to get the gospel out, to carry on. The Apostle Paul, when he was in prison and he was in chains and had a Roman soldier on both sides and in a dungeon, did he just say, well, you know, there's my ministry. I can't do anything to get the gospel out anymore. No, he said, hand me a pen and paper. And he carried on. And guess what? We have today the fruits of a ministry of a man that was quarantined. Most of his work that lasted the longest, or his work that lasted the longest, was from a prison cell. Where most people would say, well, my hands are tied, I can't do anything. Ingenuity. We've got to have ingenuity to get the gospel out. So I like that. The building is closed, but the church is open. Guess what? We haven't missed a Sunday. We immediately, and some preacher friends were laughing. Look how quickly all of us became televangelists. You know, down through the years, we preached on them fellas on TV and everything. And now there's more preaching getting out. There's more people, no doubt, will hear this message that I am preaching today than would have if we would have physically went to church and our 100 people meet together or whatever, however many we would have. More gospel is going out than has in a long time. More people are interested. Ingenuity, using wisdom, common sense, thinking outside the box. That's what they did. Her ingenuity, praise the Lord. And ladies are wonderful at that. Mothers are wonderful at that. If Kim says at our house, if she says, I don't know what we're going to eat tonight, there's not a thing in the house. Well, I get excited about that because I know she's going to start thinking and she'll come up. You know, I was saying about that. That's probably where chicken and waffles come from. A few years ago, we went out to eat and I'd never heard of that, but we went to a restaurant and they were having chicken and waffles. And I thought, that sounds awful. But I'm adventurous enough, I think I'll try it. It was chicken and waffles and mashed potatoes and on the waffles like a raspberry jam type thing. And I had that. Oh, I'll tell you what. That's probably some mama that said, we don't have a thing to eat. And she had some chicken and some potatoes and waffles and made chicken and waffles. And I'll tell you, if you get some good chicken and waffles, some mama came up with that somewhere. Ingenuity. Think that she was ingenious. How are we going to keep from Moses dying? Well, they came up with a plan to save her son, to raise her son, and God blessed her faith, and she got paid to do it. Praise the Lord. Ingenuity. All right. Her name means something. Her name, Jochebed, means Jehovah glorified. You know what God wants out of our lives? He wants to get glory out of our lives. How does He get glory out of our lives? Usually not through easy times, but through unprecedented times, hard times. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it's one of my favorite verses, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. God was glorified through her actions. Her name means God glorified. Is God being glorified in your life through this time? I mean, I'm preaching to myself. You can say Mother's Day message if you want to, but I'll tell you, I've been a sad puppy. Just being honest from my heart and confession is good for the soul, they say. But I'll tell you what gets me down is the weather. If I can get outside and work, and that don't bother me. But this continual cold and rain and blowing like it's coming across an Arctic glacier, there I go again, man. It's easy for me to just get down about it. And I think to myself, what kind of Christian am I if my spirituality is dictated by whether it's warm outside or not, or what it's supposed to be? I'm just being honest. I've had to repent over the past week over the weather. What about everything else? Well, just being honest with you, God wants to get glory out of our hearts, out of our lives, out of our actions, out of our faith. And God was certainly glorified through her life, through her actions. Her name means God glorified. Miriam, her name means rebel or rebelliously. Now, most of the time, that's not a good thing. But what did, and here's like mother, like daughter, Miriam was in on their defying the king's orders. Don't ever think it's a good thing to obey the government if the government is disobeying God. And Miriam was in on this plot to save Moses' life. She hid. She came out. She's acted like, hey, I'm just walking down the riverbank. You want me to help out? Miriam. Aaron, that's Moses' brother, his name means enlightened, and Moses' name means drawn out, because he was literally drawn out of the river there. But you think about her influence on her sons. Moses and Aaron are in the Old Testament, like Paul and Barnabas, or Peter, James, and John in the New Testament. You talk about pointing millions to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses and Aaron, great men of faith, great men of example in the Bible. She raised two heroes of the faith. And so just like, and they pointed to Jesus being the Lamb to come, like we think about when John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's what God wants to get out of our lives, us pointing people to Jesus. And so you got Moses and Aaron and Miriam as her children. And so we think about Jochebed, an uncommon mother for unprecedented times, times like we've never seen before. One last thing I'll mention, her importance. Well, what she does sets up the rest of the book of Exodus, no doubt about that, saving Moses. She's mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11 as not fearing the king, moving by faith. If you want to know how important Jochebed is and Amram is, just do this. Just take away what they did. And what do we have? We certainly don't have a Moses. We don't have a... There's no telling the importance of their actions at that time. Maybe they didn't think. I'm sure they didn't think this is big. But what they did was big. It's important. You may not always be in the spotlight, but don't think what you're doing right now could not have eternal implications with your life, with your children. It most certainly could. There's no such thing as unimportant people or unimportant actions. Mothers, fathers today, what we are doing in the lives of our children is so important, and it is going to have implications for months and years to come. And when our children are older, they're going to look back at this time. I wonder what they're going to think about. was thinking this morning as my two daughters were singing, I hope they'll remember that. It thrilled my heart to think about who'd ever thought we'd be having church, and I'm not even, none of us are in church. I'm not in my house where I have been. I'm over 100 miles away somewhere else, but we can meet together around God's Word. Here's what the Bible says about God's Word. It's not bound. The Word of God is not bound. How important is her life? Of utmost importance. I'm going to close right now in a moment. Let me just quickly say this. If you are listening in today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is what you need more than anything else. You need to be pointed to the Lamb of God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so that we could be saved, so that we could be born again. If the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and you need prayer, you need to be contacted, would you send us a message? And there's Christians all around. Don't go on in doubt and wondering. Maybe all this is happening so that you might come to a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God might use all this to bring you to Him. What a blessing that would be. So as we close today, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I hope you have a special day. You'll certainly, no matter what you do, you will have a day. You'll remember what you did during the COVID outbreak, during the pandemic that went on. Kim cut her finger the other night, and we made it halfway to the hospital, and we debated, you know, did we want to go on or not, and we decided, you know, we just, and so we didn't go to the hospital, and she will have a scar, but, you know, we'll remember, you got that, because didn't want to go to the hospital. So we're going to remember these unprecedented times. All right, let's remember our service on Wednesday night. We are meeting on Facebook Live. We are in Galatians, starting chapter number 6. So let's remember that Wednesday night at 7. Also, I want to encourage you and let you remind you about the podcast I've been doing. I've been going through Psalms chapter number 23. So if you would like a daily devotional type podcast, go to Podbean.com and search Blessings of Liberty. I've also got some other things I'm praying about putting on there. Just help me pray about that. We're looking forward to that. So thank you for listening in. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the Lord's Day. And we want to say again, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. So we'll pray. Father, we come today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the inspiration, the examples that we find in the Bible. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for their influence in our lives. And Lord, lead us, guide us, we pray. Help us as we go through this week. Help us to get out of the church in the sense that we are evangelizing, we're sharing the gospel, and you are getting glory and honor out of our lives. So I pray you'd get fruit unto your name. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And amen. All right. Have a great day. And God bless you all.